You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Monday, 31 May. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, chatting with Nick Kuntz, markets. We've got the US and the UK closed today, so it's going to be a very quiet Monday on the JSE. Then we've got results from Theresa and Nampak speaking to respective CEOs. MoneyWeb Now brought to you by Orbvest, a global real estate company that has a hyper-focus on acquiring stable income-producing medical buildings in the USA. Investors use Orbvest's online platform to invest directly into low-risk commercial real estate, primarily in the healthcare niche in the USA, from as little as $5,000. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Capitec flagrantly interferes with its own remuneration policy, basically the awards to execs. And they're saying like, oh no, we're going to pretend COVID didn't happen. So they're using pre-COVID data, which throws shareholders under the bus and says execs are immune from pandemics. Business Day, huge group raises stakes in battle for Adapt IT. And the shares jumped a bit, and basically Huge is up there, offered to 1.3 billion rand, a fairly chunky increase, and well above the cash offer from Valoris. But of course, Huge is still offering huge script. Morning markets, US was green, S&P up, and Nasdaq both up 0.1 on Friday. Asia red, Sydney off 0.1, Tokyo down 0.9%. Commodities green overnight, gold $1,913 an ounce, rand 1379, and top 40 opening call looking for a red open about 0.1% or 60 points lower.
MoneyWeb Now on the money, also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Nick Kuntz, portfolio manager, Sanlam Private Wealth. Nick, morning. Appreciate the early morning time. Two pieces of data out there. One of them, certainly results coming out from SA Inc. We've had retailers coming last week. We've had some of the coronations and asset managers. The numbers have been pretty good.
Yeah, morning, Simon. Yeah, I guess that has been a bit of a surprise for, well, a pleasant surprise for us, sort of, you know, halfway through this year. Yeah, you mentioned the earnings. They were, I think also, you know, it's quite interesting for us to see. We're so used to the big caps doing the heavy liftings. You know, we're so used to the usual suspects, the Prosus, the Nasdaq, the Billiton. I mean, how refreshing to see a bit more of a broad-based rally, quite frankly. I mean, the Truers, you know, so goes you mentioned the retailers. I mean, I looked at the markets on Friday, Simon. I mean, if to make it on the sort of top 10 of the leaderboard of the all share by close of business on Friday, you had to have done more than 6.9% on the day. No, really. I mean, it's unbelievable sort of rally. So, for me, it's a positive. You know, you want to see broad based rallies and you want to see broad based in the smaller caps. And, I think it's really.
Yeah. Then tell me, we got an update from Liberty 2 Degrees. Obviously, Sant and City, they're big asset. They're talking around foot count is actually running ahead of April 2019 levels. They're ignoring last year, of course, and even up on March. I mean, is there even perhaps something worth having a look in some of the property, but retail property, office, I think, still under pressure? Or is that still a space which is, you know, Sandton perhaps is different. It's one of those flagships along with Mall of Africa and a few others.
Sure, I think you have to pick your poison. Although while I'm sitting in the office waiting for the call this morning, I hear on the background in Bloomberg that Apple wanting to open over 100 new stores. And this, I mean, you think of Apple as being the tech disruptor and work from home and all the rest of it. So there's definitely a space for bricks and mortar, depending on your sort of industry, I guess. You know, pick your poison though within South Africa, I think. We're not going back to the office in any shape, form, or hurry just yet. Genie's out the bottle. But, yeah, I think you do. So I think there are some value within the smaller sort of space. And obviously, but I do think I agree with you. Liberty 2 Degrees, maybe a bit of a special case for Sandton City.
Yeah, it's that size and it's the sort of cachet of Sandton. And of course, it's all the rich folks going and queuing to buy Gucci bags. Apparently, you have to make an appointment to get into that store.
You've actually never seen anything like it. Do yourself a favor one day. So I'm going to go up and walk past part's Gucci and I think the other one's Hermes.
Yeah.
On a Saturday, it's quite. You think there's a recession in South Africa? No, there's no recession.
A last question. We've seen gold moving again. I mean, commodities are strong. Gold moving again. I mean, last year when I chatted, folks such as yourself, myself included, you know, truthfully, we were suddenly gold bulls because, well, gold was on the move. I mean, it was a fair shout. Should we be gold bulls again? I mean, gold holding above 1900?
Just be careful of saying, you know, on the show with such a divisive subject. No, I think you can. I mean, I'm a bit of a gold bull. Let me rephrase. I'm not a gold bull on where I think the gold price is going.
Mm.
But I do definitely think with inflation starting to rear its head worldwide and home, I think there's definitely a space for some form of gold, whether it's a gold share or a gold miner in your portfolio. Just as a hedge, as I said, not a punt on the price where it's going, but as a hedge, I think everyone should have a little bit of gold in their portfolio.
Quick hit and block, preferred gold stock?
Difficult. Yeah, probably the big caps. So probably something like an Anglo Gold. Yeah, Anglo Gold. Some of the decent cash flow, nice balance sheet, something like that.
An Anglo Gold, Ashanti. We leave that there. Nick Kuntz, Portfolio Manager, Sanlam Private Wealth. Appreciate the early morning.
You've worked hard to accumulate wealth. But with these uncertain times, how can you preserve and grow your wealth in a safer place?
Offshore.
While earning regular quarterly dividends in US dollars. The solution is here. Hundreds of investors from across South Africa are investing in specialized medical real estate in the USA, sourced by a highly skilled team who make it easy for you. Orbvest SA, an authorized FSP.
Visit orbvest.com.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Chatting now with Nampak CEO Eric Smuts. 6 months results out to end of March. Revenue stable, $6.5 billion. Trading profit up 11%. Operating profit up 89%. Decent cash generation and headline earnings per share, 17.6 cents for continuing operations. Eric, morning. Appreciate the early morning time. To me, perhaps the key point was of the results and a lot of, I think, important data points, but your group funding covenants, you were well within them. And it really looking at these numbers, looking at those covenants, the NumPAC seems to have, you know, solidly turned a corner and produced a good 6 months in what was probably still fairly tough trading conditions, considering pandemic, lockdowns, alcohol sale bans and the like.
Absolutely. Morning, Simon. Yes. I would say these results are pleasing. They're certainly not spectacular yet.
Sure.
You know, we're on the way to recovery, but it was especially pleasing considering a very weak trading environment. Overall, you know, Nigeria was strong, but the rest was actually pretty weak. So the change in results actually came from cost saving, which is not, you know, we want to grow. We just don't want to save ourselves rich.
Mm-hmm.
But very pleasing to see the impact of some of our restructuring initiatives yielding results. So pleasing from that side, but still a lot of work left to do.
Sure. A bunch still to do. I take your point. Pleasing. The fabulous will come in time. Input costs. You mentioned that actually you're doing cost savings. I mean, you're not seeing input cost pressures. And certainly in some of the manufacturers you've spoken to having supply chain issues as well. That's not bothering your operations much.
Simon, absolutely. So a lot of the commodity prices have increased, certainly on our metals businesses, both steel and aluminium.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly enough, even on the PET side, plastic, massive shortages at the moment, huge supply chain disruptions, and not just shipping delays, but overall there is a shortage. So, yes, we do experience that. So from the input side, raw material, definitely huge cost pressure at the moment. The savings we had mostly came from fixed cost, people cost, that type of thing. But on the commodity side, yeah, absolute huge cost pressure at the moment.
You mentioned South Africa, Bevcan in particular. It's still soft demand in South Africa. And I mean, this period, it's 6 months to end March, so it included alcohol bans. It includes, you know, the surge over December, January, which saw people not going out, not going to parties, clubs, et cetera, et cetera. So you started doing some exports. Where are you exporting to? And are these sort of short-term contracts, or is this something which will be with NAMPAC and Bevcan for a while, perhaps?
Absolutely. Simon, as you mentioned, we compared a 6 month year that included locked lockdowns or restrictions versus the prior without. So from that side, it's been a lot better. However, local demand still very weak. Not as much just the alcohol bans, but definitely also the fact that big events, etc., are not allowed. The export contracts, interestingly, mostly are going to North America.
Okay.
And that's, we are the beneficiaries of restrictions in North America, where a lot of lots higher home consumption led to a massive capacity shortage and therefore a short-term opportunity to export. It will definitely not be there for the long term, but in the short term, it certainly helped us to fill the gap on the side.
Okay. You mentioned Nigeria. Nigeria, had a knockout period, quite frankly. And I mean, you know, it's not that they don't have pandemic, but certainly Nigeria doing very well. And an added bonus is that you're actually managing to get some cash out of Nigeria and bring it back home.
Yeah, Nigeria was an interesting case. I think across our African portfolio, the restrictions were certainly less severe.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever there were restrictions, they lifted them earlier. And I don't want to say normal trading, but trading commenced a lot quicker. And as a result, we saw double-digit growth there, not only on our beverage can market, but also our general metal. So that was very pleasing to get cash out of stuff. So you know, we managed to get enough access to Forex for the procurement of raw materials. But to get your profit out of the country, that's a lot more challenging and something we're obviously focusing on at the moment.
And the cash issue there, it's not Nigeria sort of taking a view and saying, you can't take the money home. It is literally that they have a shortage of foreign currency within the economy, and therefore you can't convert Naira.
Absolutely. Simon, interestingly, that is Nampak's single biggest problem. We've got very successful investments in Africa, both Angola, Nigeria. Operationally, those are our best performing operations.
Yeah.
Locally, we're making good money. But unless you can get that money out of the country and to repay your debt, it's paper money. And as a result, we're trying to see how we can sort of change the portfolio so that we have a lower exposure to those markets and still be able to settle our debt.
Yeah, because as you point out, I mean, good numbers coming out of Nigeria, decent out of Angola, but cash stuck in the country. There's just a shortage of foreign currency in those markets. We'll leave it there. Eric Smuts, CEO, Nampak, appreciate your early morning time, sir.
MoneyWeb now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Theresa CEO Phivos Perolis. 6 months ending March results, cash flow up 164%. Balance sheet is now in a net cash position. As I run my eye down the numbers, it's double, and in most cases, in fact, in many cases, triple digits. Profit before tax up almost 500%, 497.7%. Appreciate the early morning time, Phivos. A stellar six-month period for March. I mean, part of it, obviously, the PGM price is maintaining and in cases moving higher. Part of it operational. I suppose my question is you're in that sweet spot, which happens to miners during the cycle and at the top end, where you just start, you almost become like a printing press for cash, for US dollars in this case. What do you do with the cash? I mean, is it you expand operations? Is it look for acquisitions? Is it return to shareholders?
Good morning, Simon. And indeed, we are in that special position where we are generating significant cash flow. And that is the question. You know, what do you do with this additional cash flow? And really, I think we stick to our knitting, which and I think we've been disciplined in maintaining our investment in our businesses throughout the cycle, even when prices weren't as exciting as they are now. And so we like to believe in a multi-return strategy to our shareholders. Firstly, returning cash to shareholders in the form of dividend. This will be our sixth year of paying dividends to shareholders, so that capital discipline is well entrenched in our strategy. And at the half, we declared an interim dividend of 4 US cents, which was higher than our full year dividend for last year.
Yeah.
So firmly set in returning capital to shareholders. Secondly, executing on our growth strategy that we set, you know, a number of years ago, and expanding the business organically at the Tharisa mine, getting to those 2 million tons of chrome with the commissioning and construction of the Vulcan fine recovery chrome plant, getting to the 200,000 ounce production up from 165,000 ounces nameplate capacity today, and then looking further afield and executing on our diversification strategy, which is well on its way. We acquired 100% of Selene Chrome Zimbabwe, and that will see us producing before the end of the year some very high-grade chrome concentrates out of Zim. And then the larger, very exciting Karo Platinum, of which we have a 26.8% shareholding in on the Great Dyke in Zimbabwe. And ideally, we'd love to see that being, executed, all stars aligning, and producing ounces within 18 months to take advantage of this buoyant PGM market that we're in.
Yeah, I want to delve into chrome in a little more detail. Before I do, I mean, your guidance, your midpoint guidance for full year PGMs is a call it 160,000 ounces. You're then 75,000 in H1, so you're going to do a little bit better in H2. You mentioned sticking to your knitting. My sense of going through these numbers is that your operations, and particularly your PGM operations, are absolutely humming along. Sort of, I mean, I don't want to say perfectly, but probably as close to it as you can in a mining operation. If we look at safety performance, we look at the metrics coming through, it is operationally running at almost max efficiency.
Yeah, so there's always room for improvement, Simon, and with mining, it's relatively unpredictable. We had inclement weather, severe rainfalls, lightning storms in the first half. So looking into the second half, where we move into the dry season, we do forecast increased productivity out of the open pit. But yeah, we've come a long way. Certainly, I think we've engineered out a lot of the bottlenecks and challenges that we've had running a large-scale open pit. And we have this philosophy that incremental improvements lead to sustainable gains in the long term. And that's the culture that we have at Tharisa, just that, you know, marginal 1% here, 1% there. Adds up, and it compounds quite quickly if you look back and reflect upon it.
Yeah, you look back 5 years later, and all those 1% do stack up. You mentioned chrome. Chrome is it's still majority PGM, but chrome is a fair size of your revenue these days. I'm imagining chrome demand, along with other commodities, is fairly buoyant in a global space right now.
Yeah, it is indeed, and throughout the COVID pandemic last year was the peak of it. And the global impact, China's economy fired away, and that provided that baseload demand. As you will recall, South Africa supplies China with 85% of their chrome requirements, not having any sources of their own. So with the rest of the global economy firing up now and starting to recover, we're seeing global stainless steel demand increasing with the refit of China or refurbishment of the U.S., the $1 trillion commitment, we should see strong demand coming through in this late cycle commodity. So the future looks good. Consensus is compounded annual growth rate of 3.7% for this year, which we think is conservative if we just look at the expansion plans globally. Even on that basis, it means many more chrome units going into the supply chain.
Yeah, and the number is conservative. I always forget how much of the Chinese chrome demand actually comes from South Africa. Every time I hear that number, it boggles my brain. That's Tharisa CEO, Phoevos Pirolis, talking 6 months numbers to end March. Appreciate the time. So our poll we're asking you today on our Twitter, our LinkedIn, and our Facebook pages. Mining stocks are making super profits. I mean, almost whatever you mine. The question is, which I put to Phoevos there up front, what should the boards be doing with that cash piling up? Dividends, competitors, perhaps new green fields, perhaps a bit of all of the above. You'll find that on all of our social media platforms. Let us know what you think you would be doing if you were the CEO or a board member of a mining stock. The show is brought to you by Orbvest's latest investment opportunity, Orbvest Diversified Holdings No. 4. We'll invest you into a range of Orbvest investments offering instant diversification. For more information, visit orbvest.com. Orbvest SA is an authorized financial service provider, license number 50. 0800 200 483. Our poll on our social medias from Friday, which we were asking you about, we asked if the strong non-food retailer boom can last. We've certainly seen it. I was chatting with Nick again this morning. It has been, you know, Mr. Price across the realm, Lewis, etc., all coming with great numbers. Two-thirds of you across our LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook say yes, absolutely. One-third think it'll end in tears. I'm probably a bit of the middle ground, but I think certainly there's some strong momentum there. But if you remember, we chatted with 361 earlier in the year, and they were worried about that extra money coming into the economy from social grants. We need to get them back on and see what that view is regarding that. That's it for today. We're live every weekday morning. The MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast just after 7 a.m. Huge thanks to my team, Eddie, Kodora, Nicole, Matapelo, and Masekla. To you for listening, my guests, for the early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.